Brother Neville. Get up here now. God bless Brother Neville. Don't forget now. Next time.
I was just had a surprise in my heart for the thing, because in myself I had recognized, I esteemed the ministry of my many brethren. Outside of there, before Brother Branham come, I said, now I don't know if he'll minister tonight. I was talking to Dr. Lee Vale here, and I said, I was in the meeting at Middletown, Ohio, and you were the one that talked through the day. And I said, I deeply appreciated the meeting, along with the teaching that Brother Vale did over there in conjunction with the meeting at Middletown.
Yes.
And I said, I esteem the servants of God, and one of us, I said, whoever preaches, it always does the other one good, because the ministry is all inspired by the same Spirit.
Amen.
And there isn't any selfishness or ambitiousness in me, and I delight to welcome the ministers of God, especially who are cooperating together with this and in it together with us. I delight to hear from them.
Amen.
So I asked Dr. Lee Vale, I said, would you minister if Brother Branham doesn't? Now, Brother Branham didn't, he might have known this,
no, but
he didn't say anything about it.
That
and so I asked Brother Vale tonight if he would minister for us in case that Brother Branham didn't, because he's associated with him in the meeting, and he knows about the way, this way, and we're glad to have Brother Vale. I appreciate him and respect him as well as I do any of the other ministers, and like I do all the others, and so if he will come tonight and speak for us, I'd be delighted to have him to do it.
Amen.
God bless, and let's pray for Brother Vale. Some of you have never heard him, and I trust that you'll pray for him.
I apologize to the audience. I didn't know we're sitting there that this was fixed up. God bless you, Brother Dale.
It wasn't fixed up. He said if you didn't come, you came.
Good, that's fine. I could hear him myself. Brother Vale spoke many times ahead of me in the meetings and so forth. He managed the meetings for a long time. And fine, Brother, done a swell job. And I'm sure this audience is always glad to hear Brother Vale when he speaks.
Amen.
Lord bless Brother Vale.
Thank
Amen.
You, Brother Branham. I was hoping Brother Bill would just talk. I think that he underestimates the value of just talking instead of preaching. I'm in front of him, he's behind my back, you know, so it's not like I'm talking behind his back. But I was just getting set to be really happy with him just talking, because I believe the greatest thrill of my life has been when we have just sat in motel rooms. And I know Brother Freddie was in many times with us, and I think he'll agree with me that just hearing Brother Branham talk many, many times did more to lift you to a consciousness of Christ and the desire to be like the Lord than preaching.
And
this includes all of us as preachers. We preach a lot when we should just talk.
Hey,
forgive me, Bill.
That's right.
I was speaking to Lee Vale, because I'm the worst offender of the whole bunch. I can reach down and just lay it on the line and say, now go to it, and turn off and don't do it myself. And that's, I've got to tell you, it's the truth, and I think you people all know that there isn't any preacher who isn't subject to like passions of the like, and a whole lot worse. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Father, we come to you tonight through Jesus Christ, the Lord, knowing that we are thine, O God. Perhaps we don't know as we ought to those things that belong to us. And therefore you weep over us as you wept over Jerusalem, because they did not know what belonged to them. And Lord, some of us have gathered or garnered in our knowledge a little knowledge of what we have of you, and then we don't employ it.
Amen.
As Brother Branham said it so conclusively this morning. And we pray for forgiveness, that we may begin anew.
Amen.
To employ that which thou hast richly given us, that we may stand approved as able ministers.
Brandon.
Help us all tonight, Brandon. O God, to make our lives right, to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And thereby glorify your name.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Lord, help me to say those things I ought to say. No matter what I got in my mind, I know you're big enough.
Amen.
You always have to lead it around to just what ought to be said, regardless of what I may think. And Lord, to cause us to know something which we will act upon, and thereby, as we've said, glorify your name thoroughly. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray the ability to communicate and the people to receive that good will be
Amen.
Done.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Bible, as Brother Neville said tonight, is a book of instruction. I consider the Bible a textbook of psychology. Now, immediately will raise in some people's minds the thought then, do you not believe the Bible is a holy book? I do, but it's still a textbook on psychology because we are psyche.
Right.
We have souls. And this book is God's holy order for mankind.
Amen.
And so therefore it is the highest order of psychology. And if we'd obey it and walk in it, we would be perfect.
Hallelujah.
Every action would be perfectly right. And we would surely be a praise and a credit to God. With that in mind, I want to discuss tonight, and I hope you're here for the night. I'm going to try to abbreviate a six-hour sermon into 45 minutes, and I don't think I can do it, so hold on for 5 and a half. I'm going to talk about tonight, with the help of the Lord, why has Mark 16 not worked, and how, according to the Scripture as I see it, and I'm glad Brother Branham is here to either corroborate or say no, how to make it work. In Mark 16, 15 to 20, which is a favorite portion of us who love the Lord, it says, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That literal condemnation in the day of judgment. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, according to a more literal rendition, that can also mean scatter serpents. And as Christ called the Pharisees and those wicked men, generation of vipers and serpents, it is without any doubt in my mind that I believe he was speaking in that vein to wicked and perverse devil-possessed people. They should literally be scattered by men of God. In other words, I do not believe this is snake handling. Can be accidentally someone could pick up a serpent like Paul, that's true. But for anybody to deliberately pick up serpents and tempt the Lord is not in line with Scripture. There is no precedent for it, so therefore we could hardly accept it. And if they drink any deadly thing, there again is the thought that this is accidental and not premeditated. There is no sideshow here. Otherwise, Christ would have been justified in jumping off the top of the temple. This is more or less as it was, I think, in the case of Sadhu Sundar Singh, where his parents attempted to bring him back to Hinduism and then failing, invited him to a banquet. They fed him sumptuously and gave him enough poison to kill an army. He simply walked out, sat in the front steps, not knowing what had happened, and did not fall dead. And it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with those very signs following. Now, I put in there those very signs following, but I have a right to do so, because that's the signs that God said we're going to follow these men. Now, this passage of Scripture has been under attack from two sources for a great many years. The first source of attack is that many people say, and many of our preachers say, that this portion is not in the original and better manuscript. Now, I want to tell you that that is a lie. That absolutely is not true. Your most authenticated, your oldest and best manuscript positively do contain it.
Amen.
And there is no ifs, ands, or but about it. The second group, however, are more subtle. They teach it with a dispensational mannerism, wherein they say that this no longer obtains because now that the Word of God has finally been brought to its fullness. In other words, we have the New Testament as well as the Old. It is not necessary that we have these miracles. But that is not true, because according to Scripture, these
Amen.
Signs are to be in the believers until Jesus Christ comes,
Amen.
Or at least until perfection. And if that perfection lies in love, wherein the whole will of all of man is entirely submitted to the will of God, and the will of man now is the will of God, the will of God now being the will of man because man has no will but his, that perfection, which could be in the first chapter, first book, 13 Corinthians, these signs will still follow.
Amen.
Because that will bring it forth.
Right.
It will mature it and make perfection, because it says in the one place, though I give my body to burn and have not love, it profits nothing.
Right.
And speaking with tongues of men and angels without love profits nothing, have not love. But it does not say when that perfection cometh that these gifts shall not be there.
Amen.
I know it says we know in part and this will pass away, but the point what I'm driving at is that the healing and the casting out devils and all will go on.
Amen.
Will go
Amen.
On. So you cannot argue from that point. What I wish to show you tonight is I believe in Scripture exactly why this is not working and how we are to make it work. Now you know that the book of Acts, of course, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in history. In other words, the book of Acts is a compilation of what the Holy Spirit has done in the lives of the members of the body of Jesus Christ. So go to, first of all, the book of Acts in chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now a people who are interested in signs and wonders and the miracle-working power of God are too apt to focus their attention upon the Scripture that says, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. But I want to focus your attention upon what precedes it, because there must be some step taken which will bring forth these results. Now notice, it says that the people continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in fellowship.
Yes.
Now let's
Amen.
Notice here that the word doctrine is not exegesis. There is a study, of course, in our colleges. The study of exegesis, which is, according to our thought, the division of the Word of God, wherein we may study the blood. We may study the second coming of Christ. We may study the first coming, the millennium, and all these various facets in Scripture. In other words, it's a division of the Word where we can more or less categorize or bring into focus certain subjects. But literally, the word doctrine to you and me simply means teaching, which has to do with conduct. And so, therefore, it says here that these people continued steadfast in a conduct outlined by the apostles.
Amen.
That's what it says. It says there was a steadfast giving themselves over to a certain rote or a way of living which the apostle set forth.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, maybe you folk don't know it, but there is a book called the Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E. I'm not sure it's in the Antinocene Fathers, but it's in the early church fathers, of volume 1, I believe. I have it at home. And in there, it's the oldest manuscript ever found. It was written, we believe, in 80 A.D., and in there, the apostles themselves set forth a creed of conduct. And let me tell you something.
Amen.
If you people don't understand, I know you do here, but there are too many of your colleagues and friends who say that the gospel belongs to the law. Let me assure you that is not true. They belong to the New Testament church, and the Didache is based solidly upon the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes. Amen.
Now, this was their conduct. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek, have a unity of spirit, soul, and purpose. And it says here that as they applied themselves steadfastly to that teaching of conduct which the apostles set forth, and in the breaking of bread. Now, I believe that's the Lord's Supper. I don't believe that's sitting down just having food together. Because although there was a lot of that in those days, the emphasis does not lie there. The emphasis lies in the breaking of bread, which is a symbol of the literal body
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Whose body today we are, because the church is his body. Now it says, that fear came upon every soul. Now, you know today as well as I do, there's more of a carnival and a circus spirit in the church than there is a spirit of fear.
That's right.
You know today there is no real fear of God before the eyes of people. Now, having pastored in Florida, I can say this with authority, that I ran across more people who were neurotics and were wrong in their approach to life than perhaps any place outside of California. The southern states are terrible for that. And they always come and tell me, Brother Bale, I saw a great light. And the women would come and say, well, I saw the Lord, and he just stood by the curtain, and he smiled, and they're seeing every day. And I said, you didn't see God. I said, if the Lord appeared before me, I'd crawl under the tile.
Yeah.
I've talked to Brother Branham. I've talked to other men with visions. And I've had them myself. And believe me, there is no place for levity or a hippo-raw spirit in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
There is no liberty which is licensed in the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
And today, with such a familiarity which breeds contempt, such a levity amongst us, no wonder the miracles aren't there, because the miracles came only after fear came upon the people, which came upon them trying to work out the pattern of conduct which God laid down.
Amen.
Amen. We have a group of people today who are a lot of themselves. You wonder why Brother Branham is hitting against women with short hair? Listen to me. You women tonight know this. You go to your beauty parlor operator, and she'll tell you that the older you are, the shorter you got to cut your hair. Why? Because they take over more and more and more authority.
Yeah.
And as the days get shorter in the appearing of the Lord, the hair is going to get short.
That's right.
Amen. There's nothing spiritual about subcutite.
Amen.
Now, what's this got to do with what I'm talking about? Everything. Because when Paul said concerning women's hair short or long, and he ends up by saying, if anybody seemed to be contentious, he said, we've got no such covering our church. They say, well, there you are. Paul the Apostle said, if you want to fuss about it, then you can have short or long hair. That's a lie.
Amen.
He said, as for us, let me tell you this. There are no short-haired people in our church.
Amen.
That goes for my wife and anybody else's wife, too. And thank God she's finally letting her hair grow long.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
He said, don't you like me pretty? I said, I'd sooner see you prettier for Jesus. Kid, we're getting old.
Amen.
She's pretty anyway, short or long hair.
Hallelujah.
Because she's got a good nature.
You
see, it says here that these miracles came not before this in order to establish good conduct. There again we go back to God's man when they said, Bill, give the women gifts and all. Where do you see a miracle happen here before God's house was in order? Come on, I'm challenging you.
Amen.
I'm not a prophet, do I not have a prophetic spirit even? I don't have to have.
Amen.
But I'm glad that I got God's word and God's prophet here. Now let's see whether I'm preaching the truth or not.
Amen.
If I know anything, verse 43 follows verse 42. And it says, only after they continued. Now it says continuity was a demand.
Amen.
Well, maybe I'll practice God's word today and not tomorrow. When I get to these services, I'll feel real religious and maybe I can just work this out where these signs and wonders lap. And this isn't going to happen that way.
Amen.
God's divine order before these gifts are to follow is the divine order of spirituality.
Amen.
And that's true because God's word says so. And fear came upon every soul. And when that holy fear came,
amen,
it says, then these signs and wonders were done by the apostles. Now, go again into the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, 32 to 34. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Notice again, unity.
Amen.
You know something? I don't know how you feel about it. And I'm not too pessimistic. But I believe now is the day
above all days, to stop trying to be big.
Amen.
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 God gave me a vision 11 years ago when I pastored in Florida. I had many little mental visions. They came all the time, and they always proved right. But this one, as a fool, and I say it honestly, I was a fool not to pay great heed. But I saw the church walking over a viaduct. The right side was intact, but the left side, the guardrail, was gone. And as they walked over, a very few were walking in white. Just a few. Oh, a miserable few. Were walking over to the right in safety, and the rest in dark were tumbling over on the side. And I said, and rightly so, God is going to judge this church.
Ever.
He's going to sift it. That was the word I used, sift it. Because that was the word. And I said, you're going to be surprised at the people that are going to fall and go down. And when that came, I hated it. And when that came, I wasn't prepared for it. And when that came, that shook me, and I was hurt in it. Don't you see, brother, sister, that unless the people have unity and know what God's word said and all act on it, you're better with two than you are with 200?
Yes.
Amen.
Don't you see that numbers is not your salvation, but the lack of numbers is your salvation?
Hallelujah.
Don't you see that God can save by many or by few, but he's always chosen the few?
Amen.
Don't you understand that when they stood there, the multitude durst not join themselves to them?
Amen.
There was a solidarity here, and I say I would sooner have four people that I knew were with me than 4,000 in a church.
Yes.
You don't know what I'd be willing to suffer, what I'd be willing to give up if I knew I could have even four and say, Brother Dale, though they slay me, I'll be with you.
Yes.
I said about a month ago, my car's paid for now. That's about all I got. I don't owe any money to anybody except $25, and I can write a check for that in a minute and get it off my mind. You can have every cent I've got in the bank. I've got around 12 suits of clothes. When I had one, I was happier. Might as well get rid of those two. You can take everything that God will allow you, me to give you. In other words, with mine. You can have everything if you just said, Brother Bill, I'll stand with you. Now, you can trust me. I've yet to have one man come and say, Brother Bill, I'm with you. That's the case of the pulpit. What about the pew? We just don't pull together.
My Lord, help us.
That's what's wrong with Mark 16. There's nothing wrong with this. What's wrong with the people? I'm not trying to be abusive. I'm trying to be helpful. I'm trying to analyze this thing, see?
Amen.
And if we can analyze it and do something about it, perhaps we can, you know, get this worked out the way it ought to be. And it says here, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now listen to me. A rich church does not signify spirituality.
Amen.
Doesn't. Man may drive into a tent meeting and hand the preacher the keys to his Cadillac. That doesn't make him a spiritual man. You know that. These people understood materiality. And according to the 16th chapter of Luke, Jesus Christ himself speaking tells us emphatically there are two gods. One is money and the other is the real God.
Amen.
And exactly how you handle materiality means whether God's going to trust you with spirituality, because he said if you can't handle material things, which is least of all, God will not give you the true riches.
Amen. Amen.
Yet there are even great conventions where millionaires get together as a display of wealth. And they try to operate in the Holy Ghost. If money meant so much, why do they bring this boy in with hardly any chicken feed in his pocket?
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
What are you doing there, Bill? You haven't got a buck to rub together.
Praise the Lord. Huh? What about?
Says they had all things in common. They didn't call anything their own, and it's not ours. And then it says, when this came to pass where they really had their eyes off of material possessions, got rid of their pride, it says, then, with great power.
Amen.
Doesn't just say power, it says great power. Gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And neither any man lacked, and so on. Now, I want you to notice that there has to be a cause before there's going to be an effect. And these effects we want tonight in Mark 16 cannot take place without the cause.
Amen.
Which is, people, we've got to get back to the Word of God, whether we like it or not.
Hallelujah.
Now, we got to start somewhere. And just right, we're back again where men become the authority in their homes and women let the men take over the driver's seat again, let their hair grow. That's the place for starting. You wonder why Brother Branham goes back to ABCs. My God, folks, I never knew a man yet that put his foot on the third step that he got the first step.
That's right.
Amen. I never knew a kid yet that had a second birthday till he got over his first.
Amen.
You can't reason this thing out. You got to be it out.
Amen.
No such thing as reasoning. Reasoning is the opposite of faith, and faith is the opposite of reasoning. You don't reason, you obey it.
Amen.
That's all. You put your foot in the water, water, it'll hold you. Just like iron swam when Elisha threw the little twig in on top of it.
Amen.
You don't have to reason out. It's a matter of obedience. And as these people obeyed and got their eyes off of materiality,
amen,
then God could work. Listen to me tonight. Do you realize that materiality has forced Jesus Christ outside the church?
That's right.
He says in the Laodicean church, I'm not even in it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Amen.
He's not even in the church. Why? Because he warned us that Mammon was the god of this world. There are two gods. And we, without meaning to, brother, sister, have put the real Lord outside, and we have become amenable to fault and material condition. When are we going to shuck it once and for all?
Amen.
One day they're going to take it from us.
That's right.
Don't think they're not.
Amen.
I can't stand up here and be honest in my soul and tell you that which Bulgaria, which was the fastest growing Protestant country in the world, Pentecost had one of its greatest revivals over there. They're under the Iron Curtain today. I can't stand here and tell you that Russia deserved the terrible trouble she's in. I can't tell you China deserved it under the bamboo curtain. I can't tell you those Hungarians who sang as the Our Travelers could come back and say the greatest Holy Ghost singers in the world. I can't tell you they deserved it. But look where they are. Surely the same thing obtains today where Jesus said. He said, you consider those men upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell any more wicked than anybody else? He said, no, except you repent too. He said, you're going to have it hard.
Amen.
And I believe today in America that we're going to have that difficulty too. Will we be snapped into reality when we finally find out that materiality doesn't mean a thing? When this life consists more than food, and our body is more than raiment. Are we going to realize too late that he that thinketh to save his soul life shall lose it?
Yes.
But he that deliberately gives his, that word in the Greek is not life, Zoe, it is suke, soul. Your normal life here, the life you live, this sensate life that you live, feeling and governed by sin, if you give it to God, and the gospel said you'll get it back.
Amen.
Now here's what he's talking about. He said, now these signs and wonders took place. Here's where Mark 16 was restored to the, would be restored to the church. What about the fifth chapter? Verses 1 to 16, Ananias and Sapphira. Here were those that lied to the Holy Ghost. You know as well as I do that sin had entered in. These people had turned liars in the assembly of God. Pride and boasting, evil heart. And God had to destroy them to keep the church clean.
Right.
Now, let's turn over to Hebrews, shall we?
The second chapter. Don't think I'm condemning you because I'm condemning myself. I know what the Bible teaches. I've never preached with anything but a two-edged sword, brother and sister. I don't have one of those meat cleavers to get you. I've got a knife that cuts both ways. And it says here in the second chapter, we're not into the real tough spot yet. In the second chapter it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any times we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, it's just angels talking. Never mind when the Son of Man, the Son of God, became incarnate and preached the Sermon on the Mount. I keep referring to that because I happen to know that I was taught that it was under the law and didn't belong to the church too. Lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God, notice, also bearing them witness, who's that? The apostles, you see, with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Now, see, God wants it. But now turn to Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. Listen. But unto the Son said he, thy throne, O God. What's he called the Son?
Huh? Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Maybe Paul made a mistake. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now notice, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now notice, the scepter stands for power. And it says, therefore, thy kingdom, O God, the scepter, is what? A scepter of what? Righteousness. I want you to notice that. You realize in this day we're a power-hungry people.
Lord.
It wasn't Brother Branham's fault. He was merely just from the hand of God that would separate the chaff from the wheat. But ever since his ministry came on the scene, and I was in the early part of it when I saw in Canada, and I believe Brother Branham that night in Vancouver, there were about 2,000 people you prayed for, not one missed. How many of you people saw one of those meetings? Let me just put the phone into your hand. Not many, see. All here, not many of you ever saw it. You missed what was the greatest, let us say, demonstration of power that I believe this world seen outside of that early century. There wasn't one person missed. Every deaf person heard. Every dumb person spoke. Every blind person saw. Every clubfoot turned around. Every hunchback straight. Every cancer disappeared. There wasn't one missed, Brother Brown.
Right.
Not out of 2,000.
Amen.
And you know that mad and power-hungry people forgot that the most powerful person apart from God is the devil. Don't get power hungry.
Amen.
Get righteous hungry.
Amen.
Then the true power of God will come, but you'll open yourself to every lying devil.
That's right.
To every false wonder.
Amen.
To every deceiving spirit. When you want power apart from righteousness, because it says the power of God is righteousness, and he loves righteousness,
amen,
and he hates iniquity.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
If the church is going to come back to God manifesting, they've got to become holy and righteous in all their doing.
Amen.
I think Brother Branham ought to leave the room because I don't like eulogizing a man. But do you know he is the only outstanding name in this world that I know that doesn't beg for money and hasn't got a money in a gimmick program?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now, if that's on tape or not, you can play it around the world. It's yours, Bill, but it's the truth.
Amen.
Except for a few little humble men on the outside, I don't know one man that isn't yelling for money.
My Lord, yeah.
It isn't there. We've got more television, we've got more radio, we've got bigger buildings, we've got more everything, and the work still isn't being done. Now, I don't want to be rough on people, but brother, sister, listen, I've been in these great meetings, so-called, and the percentage of the real healings, I don't think is 1%. I don't know if it's 1 out of 100. Now, Bill, I may be wrong. Let's give it 20%. Let's give it 20. But 20% is still a long way from 100. Because there was a time, as Brother Bill said this morning, even the shadow falling healing.
Amen.
See, in those days, they had the power. In those days, they were holy.
Amen.
In those days, they were pure.
Amen.
The Spirit of God in the infinite church absolutely stood at the door and said, out to sin.
Amen.
He had to, because the church was not yet established under elders who would shepherd the flocks and keep out sin.
Amen. Amen.
God always is good and gentle. He needed the ones with young very gently. See, he was very gentle. He positively just kept out that sin in those days. See, that's where the power was. Unto themselves and still maintain the power of God. Now let me read you in Psalm 50, 15 to 17. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? And yet today we have people, even in the pulpit, who have multiple marriages, lie like the devil, sin on every hand, and then attempt to produce acts of power, and people are running all over the country after them. And I'll be frankly, I don't see many acts of power.
Amen.
A man comes up and he said, God gave me a vision that if you give me $20, you'll get every prayer answered. Well, I said, if I say, fine, I'll go and ask him. Well, let's say, let's ask God, give me a plan to rob that bank then. Going to answer every prayer.
Lord.
Can you find in Scripture where God rescinded his word that said, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth?
Amen.
And how can any man come along and say, God gave me a vision telling you to everybody give me $20, then you're going to get a prayer answer. He said, what have I got to do with my word in the mouth of the wicked? And what's a wicked man? A man that doesn't live the word of God.
Amen.
And until the church gets back to the pulpit being clean, and that's the place to start, and then in the pew, I cannot honestly see where Mark 16 is going to work.
Amen.
I don't see it. Because if the scepter of God, which is a sign of God's power,
amen,
which is a demonstration of the Holy Ghost and healings and miracles and wonders, proper speaking in tongues, which if it's in the Spirit really and it's a real worship, public ministry gift, I have heard speaking in tongues which far surpassed a lot of preachers preaching.
That's right.
And I didn't even know what they said, but oh, I could tell God was in it. I think I can count on my hand how many have heard you. If we want it, we've got to get back to holiness.
Amen.
I know it's not a popular subject, but there is nothing to do but preach the truth of God.
Amen.
Now the church, even before I think 7 years was over, had already fallen into sin. Now, over in 1 John, we find John predicting it. In fact, he was discussing it in the first book of John, that's the epistle, the second chapter, and verses 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And with it in 1 John 4, 1-3, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Whereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh
is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Rubbed ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Now you can see here that John is warning them. What? About the devil. And who was it that caused our forefathers to sin? The devil.
Amen.
He that sinneth is not of God.
Amen.
And he's warning us that the one that would bring sin within the camp, the enemy, he's warning us here, this spirit of Antichrist, this spirit that's against Christ, will delude the people and teach them to sin. Even in Paul's day when he said, are we of those who now saved because we're saved by grace? Should we sin that grace may abound? He said, what such as we? Should we continue in sin? Why, he said, it's unthinkable. Why? Because we are born of Almighty God. But you see, that spirit was already there. And in 1 Corinthians 5, it had gotten so wicked that a man was living in sin with his stepmother. He said, such a sin not named even among the Gentiles. And in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, they had left their liberty, which was in Christ. Now, what's the word liberty? The word liberty means the power to be always right. A true liberated Christian is always right. Because if you're not always right, you're not liberated.
That's right.
Amen. Now, this may sound kind of funny, but I'm like Dr. Levy Petrus on that. I believe in security. I'm a Calvinist, inside out and upside down. I don't like using that if I'm a Christian. I try to be inside out and upside down. But as we try to make our doctrine fit into a picture, you would say I was a Calvinist through and through. But I like what he said. He said, you believe that a man once saved, always saved. He said, I'll put it this way. He said, if a man is sinning, he needs to be saved from that sin.
Yeah.
You see? There is a picture there. What is it? Liberty is not a good feeling. Now, most of my dear Pentecostal friends, and I love them, they think liberty is a shouting good time, jump over the benches, run around, just go, yippee, yippee, yippee. That's liberty. You're wrong. That's a liberty. Because the same folk leave the building and fall flat in their faces out there in the side.
Right.
Listen, what is liberty? Liberty is a man, is in a man that's free.
Amen.
See? And when a man's got some dominion over him, he's not free.
Amen.
So you see, your liberty is what? Holiness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
They walked away in this 3rd chapter of Galatians from it, not understanding true liberty. Go to the book of Revelation. Show me a church that God didn't have something against.
Yeah, right.
All down the line, there is what's wrong. Our power has been dissipated. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. I know I should sort of join this all to get a little better, but I'm really trying to cut it down so we can just skip over in the next few minutes now. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning at verse 17, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. He was right. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every man taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, another drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now, why? For I received of the Lord that all which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show forth the Lord's death till he come. I wish those words till he come weren't in there. Because inadvertently, you get your eyes on the second coming. Never do it. Your eyes are on death. That's right, did you hear me? Your eyes aren't the second coming. You're on death. this coming of this table, Lord, hasn't got a thing to do with the second coming. It has, in an indirect way. It has to do with his death. You show forth his death. Of course, it's till he come, because then it's all over. In other words, he's just telling us, do this until he comes. That's why these spiritual communicants are all wrong. They say, well, they just try to tell us that you take a spirit. It's not true at all. It's physical, just like you do here. Now, wherefore, it says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we are chastened or corrected of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together, tarry one another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and so on. Now listen. I read an article not long ago, and I know that Anglican people practice this, and they're wrong. I want to be kind about it, but I want to be firm about it. There are too many people who feel that discerning the Lord's body simply means that they recognize that Jesus Christ died upon the tree, and by his stripes were healed. And so, therefore, you take the Lord's Supper to get healed. Now, that's entirely erroneous. That is not scriptural. Discerning the Lord's body is what? To realize the body of Christ is holy, and that a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Amen.
The very fact that these people were sick was because they were living in sin. Therefore, discerning the Lord's body is not realizing that God has called us unto holiness.
Amen.
And we are to walk even as he walked.
Amen.
Here's why people are sick. They're saying, Brother Branham, come and use the gift. How in the name of common sense can Brother Branham use the gift to take off a curse that God put on a people because they desecrated his body, which is the church?
Amen.
We talk about all this compassion for those amongst us that are sick. And I'm glad we've got it. But my brother, my sister, perhaps your compassion is mislaid.
Yes.
Maybe it's time the church began to judge itself. Because it says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What's God doing? He's allowing sickness to come. I know many men, I think even Brother Bosworth made the mistake in teaching it, and men like dear Tommy Osborne. They all try to tell you, oh, rebuke sickness because it's the devil put it on you and God didn't. I beg to differ with you.
Amen.
The very first revelation of God as healer was this, I will put none of these diseases upon you. I'll put upon the Egyptians.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't tell me that God doesn't put diseases on people.
Hallelujah.
It says, for this cause many are weak and sickly. And the people today that cry out the hardest against Mark 16 live in the worst sin. Listen to me, folks. Brother Branham had a vision in 1958. Dirty old veil, just mean enough to talk about it. Because I love him with all my heart. I was in his room one day not long ago, and I said, Bill, I had some results in Macon, Georgia that really surprised me. One Saturday night, we had a little group of 12 people. Now, you see, we said, we just put it this way. We told the folk really not to come. See? That's right. So 12 came. But that wasn't a night service. The church was usually packed. Good crowd in the Baptist church. Fine man of God there. And I said, look, folk, the scripture says we're to confess our sins. Now, so I'm going to tell you, as far as I know, the word fault, there is sin. But it's not the same word used for sin where it speaks of it in Romans. Concerning the wages of sin is death. But to me, it's like the word fault. Where we talk about an area of fault is where an earthquake could take place because the ground is just right for it. Now I said, I know what makes me sin. I've had a violent temper since birth. And all I got to do with my thin skin is get my temper up and I can fall into a mess. I want to be honest with you, and you be honest with me now. Just like I was with those folks. I said, let's confess what we know gets us into trouble. Because you see, James didn't say sin just comes, bingo. He said, there's something down in there like a little wiggle worm waiting to get fed. He said, you feed him and pamper him, and after a while he comes up full blossom. Nobody just goes bingo. Something fed down there, brother, sister.
That's right. That's right.
You know, temptation is not sin. Don't get condemned because you're tempted. You'll never be condemned because you're tempted. You only get condemned when you sin.
That's right. That's right.
Now I said, look, let's confess our fault. 10 people confessed their faults, and we had 10 miracles, even of 25 years standing. Brother Branham grinned and went to his study and brought out his book. And he said, here it is, Lee, the angel of the Lord. If you're 58, wasn't it, Bill?
Right.
We were together. He said, the angel of the Lord said, have them confess their sins before you pray for them. I would suggest the Sunday morning you have your friends confess their sins before they come.
Good idea.
Amen. I'm your brother, Bill.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I would not for 1 minute hesitate to raise my voice as a little humble servant of God with not too much. But to say, don't expect the gift of healing to go into operation for a third pull. I believe that third pull is right here if God's people repent.
Amen.
I think that's right.
Confess the sin.
Hallelujah.
You say, Brother Vail, if I confess my sin, people will know about me. They sort of smell you now, kiddo. Don't worry.
Amen.
I don't mean to be rude. And I don't mean that in the wrong sense. But you know how it is that you can just sort of what that vulgar, that well, it's a vernacular, smell a thing out. That feeling. There. People know. They know when we're not walking with God. Fritz Kreisler, the great violinist, said, if I don't practice every day, I know it. If I don't practice the second day, my wife knows it. And if I don't practice the third day, the critics know it. And if I don't do it the fourth day, the public knows it. Now, I'm in a mess.
Amen.
That's the way it is. Not discerning the Lord's body. We come to church, and before we take that Lord's communion, we are to confess our sins. And I believe that the elders in this church and every church are duty-bound to say to every communicant, how is it with you? You won't be offended if I tell you something else we do all wrong. Not this church. Every church is the same book. I'm guilty, too. We pass the offering plate. Zip, zip, zip. You bring your offering. You just come and put that tithe. That's God's tithe. That's not yours in the first place. Tithe the Lord. You don't have anything to do with that. Oh, I could preach for 6 hours on that one right there and really do you some good. But I've got to quit these 6-hour sermons, see? Tired in the throat. Not worried about you. Huh? It says, bring your gift and examine your heart if there's anything wrong out there. The elder says as he takes your gift in an envelope even. Nobody knows what it is. But you're supposed to bring it. See, that's your job. If you love God, you do it. And he'll say, how is it with you and everybody out there? Well, elder, I'm sorry. I'm in a mess. Well, fine. That we do. You leave the gift here. And if by next Saturday you haven't had the courage to make it right, you call me and I'll go with you. Emissary bearing gift, you know, to make the way nice. A daysman to take you by the hand. We'll fix it up. Now, how many churches do that? Well, you think the time we got back to divine order? Everything in God's divine order has a purpose and meaning. If that is true about a little gift of money, how true then when we get together knowing that we are the body of Christ? And a little leaven's the whole lump. And because we are members of the church, how can we sit back and not confess our sins when we know we're pulling the roof down upon us by destroying the very pillars in the church of God, which says to confess your sin because his scepter and his power is based upon holiness. He is jealous and will not give his name and honor to the ungodly.
Amen.
Listen, my brother, my sister, Israel took the ark out to battle. And even the very ark was taken as Israel was defeated. And we go day after day trying to use the name of Jesus as a horseshoe, as a rabbit's foot.
Yes.
And the name is powerless.
Amen.
Because God's people are not holy. Listen to this scripture over here. Peter speaking concerning the man at the gate, beautiful. And Peter, when he saw it, answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look so earnestly on us?" He did not deny holiness. He merely recognized that true holiness was in Christ. But he recognized the walk. You think for one moment that Peter, living in sin, would have had that power to say, "Such as we have, we give unto you"? Now, do you see what I'm driving at? A while ago, and I said it wasn't Brother Branham's fault when this great miracle ministry came, but when people saw it, they said, "We want that no matter what, we've got to have it." But they forgot that he paid a price.
Amen.
Yes. I think I love Brother Branham as far as I'm true in my heart. I'm not hypocritical. But I'm going to tell you something. When I saw those 2,000 healed, I cried, I sobbed, I howled out loud. But that didn't touch my heart. The fact I could see a man broken going down the road. Family wiped out. A man who'd prayed for thousands and now the heaven is dark. A senator driving down the road said, "Bill, do you love him now?" He said, "I love him more than you." That's the price a man pays. I wouldn't care if Brother Branham could raise the dead. I wouldn't walk across the street except I know he's alive. In my own life, I hunger and thirst for one thing. Oh, God, make me pure.
Hallelujah.
If I've wanted gifts, that's not the answer. It's not the answer. I've wanted power, that's not the answer. There's only one answer, and that's to walk in the life where there's fruit.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Make the tree good." A man's known by his fruit. He said, "Many are going to come in that day. Have we not done so and so and so and so?" Their name. He said, "I never knew you."
That's right. Amen.
But you want to return to the real power of God, where they're not going to come and milk you for money and tell you a bunch of lies and try to wump you up and get a few miracles here and bring in so-called sick people on stretchers and they get up and they weren't sick in the first place, all these gimmicks. You want to see God really move and get back to the early day? Brother, sister, I see no way to do it. And I told you, I'm going to have to let the other 3 hours go now. I don't know any way to do it except get back to the Bible.
Amen.
And that's to confess our sins.
Amen.
If you've been wrong, say so. I've written a few letters. I suppose I've got more to write. I've talked to a few folk, and no doubt I've got more to talk. I've gone back and made my heart right a little bit. I know I've got to do it more. But I'm satisfied tonight that Mark 16 is not going to work. Until we get back to knowing thy scepter, O God, is a scepter of righteousness.
Yes.
And thou lovest righteousness. God loves the right man. But he hates iniquity. One man once said, "Confess your sin and shame the devil." You know, that's true. Paul said, "If there's something in me that I can't control," he said, "then it's not I, but sin that worketh in me." We find it hard, don't we, to humble ourselves. Yet if my people will humble themselves. Hey, Brother Dale, I don't like getting red in the face. I don't either.
Amen.
I hate to tell all about me, too. You say, "Do I get up in church and tell it?" No. You go to the man you offended. If it's a public misdemeanor, confess in public.
Yeah.
If it's a private misdemeanor, confess to the person.
Yeah.
You see, there is where it is. It's not that Mark 16 isn't in the best manuscript. It's there. Not that we don't need it today because we got the Bible. We need it worse than ever.
Yeah.
It just isn't working because we're not in shape, that's all.
Yeah.
I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me show you something in Psalm 32. with this all closed. Now, I'm sorry to preach another disjointed old sermon. I usually pride myself on being consecutive and getting every point in order and doing just right, but I couldn't do it tonight because we didn't have the time. But let me show you something in that 32nd Psalm. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now listen, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Listen, you know that third verse should read? You've got a wrong translation in there. You know what it should read? And I'll prove it here. When I declared not my sin, my body wasted away. And how can I prove it? Because the fifth verse says, I acknowledge my sin.
Amen.
Am I right, Brother Branham, that one time in Canada, you prayed for a girl in Saskatchewan dying with arthritis and so on, and she smoked, and when she prayed for it, she gave it up. And in Bellingham a year later, she was there again in the tent, and she was before you, and you said, is there something you ought to confess? And she said, oh, no, Brother Branham. And again he said, is it not true, sister, you're hiding something? She said, oh, no, Brother Branham. And you said, then, what are you doing hiding your smoking? Isn't that true? And when she confessed again, she was made well.
That's right.
You want to pay a price? Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, sooner supper, huh? Cry all day long or get it over? I didn't write the book. I only preach it. Believe me, I wouldn't write a book like this, but I'm glad he did. Let's pray, shall we? Now, Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name at the close of this service.
Hey.
And Lord God in heaven, I know that if any man had to stand in his own righteousness or by works, we'd all be condemned.
Truly.
But Lord, I'm not going to hide behind that. Because you told us that sin shall not have dominion over us. Yeah. That whereas sin once reigned unto death, now in this new life by Christ Jesus, we more than reign by him unto eternal life.
Yes, Lord. Thank
much
you.
More. If sin were powerful, how much more is Christ?
Yes.
Lord, tonight I'm undone. I admit it, O God. I confess, O God, you gave me gifts beyond my comprehension and power beyond my deserving. Grace beyond anything, O God, that even grace could call out and say it's all right. And Lord, tonight, we have been gross, and we ask you not only to forgive us, but now tonight, oh God, while our hearts are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking to you, Lord, or maybe we're not even doing that, we're looking to you, that's the main thing. I would like, oh God, and ask that thy Spirit may truly move upon us to remove every shred of hindrance by unconfessed sin.
Yep.
That having looked in the mirror and read the word aright, we've seen ourselves and then seen your remedy and gone about doing what's right. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus, because that's what I want. When our heads are bowed, we're praying. I wonder tonight that if you looked in your heart and you say, Brother Bale, I know why I don't have power tonight. I know my sin. And I'd like everybody here to pray for it. You won't mention it because I'm not here to ask you to mention your sin. But you know tonight, you know what holds you back. You know what it is. I don't believe anybody that has any average intelligence knows the things in his life. You say, Brother Dale, tonight I want with everyone in this room to remember me. Because somewhere down the line, the very, very near future,
I'm going to make that thing right. I'm determined that's got to be right. It's got to be right. Because I want to get healed and I want God's power in my life. Because that's all that's holding us back, let's face it. Claude Chen, you raise your hand and say, I'm going to pray tonight. Ask everyone here to pray for me. Just raise your hand, put it down. I'll be glad to lead you to pray. All the buildings, Lord bless you. Just keep your hand up a minute. Just keep your eyes closed. We're going to pray. Our Father, for these uplifted hands, and thou knowest, O God, that my hand is raised because I want to live above the world of sin, and not even, Lord, and this is hard, because I haven't looked too closely. I know that's why it's hard. But I don't want even to make any room for the affections of the flesh, let alone the love. But to be dedicated to you.
Yes.
That my life, the lives of the people here, will be truly hid with Christ and God. And Lord, tonight we will deliberately lose our lives for the sake of Christ. That means sin's got to go. God, you know I've hated an unholy sin. You know that I've loved in this life more than anything to be in the presence of anyone who radiated Christ. You know, Lord, that's moved me as nothing else ever has or will. And I believe that when your people here are like that, they're going to move the world for Jesus.
Yeah,
what's going to be moved is going to be moved on that alone or no other ground. What a small price to pay confessing our sins for such a great reward.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, help me to help me. Because this is a public demonstration, Lord, of confession and desire and hope and faith. Because, Lord, if we didn't believe something could and would be done, there'd be no point in raising your hand. But in thee, O God, do we trust tonight. Help each one, Lord, I pray, to be right for thy glory and thine alone. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
So much was said, I couldn't say nothing to make it any better. And I truly believe that it was the Lord that worked this out for Brother Vale to bring this message.
Amen.
After this morning.
Yes, so do
you
I.
You see, it has to work that way. We accept that from God.
Yes.
Well, there's so many things he was saying. I have 20 sermons go down here off of what he said. I was thinking here of one little illustration to back up what he said. Now, we look at this watch to find out what time it is. Unless that every instrument in that watch is coordinating one with the other, we'll never know the correct time.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that takes all of us, all together, if we want to see the third pool really do something for God.
Amen.
It's coordination with every one of us together to humble ourselves before God and confess our wrongs and pray and believe God for these things. I truly believe that what Brother Vale said is the truth, that God will never put his spirit in an unholy, unrighteous, disobedient temple. No, it's got to come in the way of the cleansing of our hearts from all guile and iniquity, that we might be pure before God, that he might work his pure Holy Spirit through us to bring these things to pass. I think that when you go home tonight, if you read that little book of Jude, you just learn a whole lot now of what Brother Vale has said. And he said, I earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints that got away from it. How a man of corrupt mind and so forth had come in and beguile them away from the real things of
Amen.
God. And God can only operate as we let him operate. And so many wonderful things about saying, you know, people want power.
Yes.
And really, they don't know what power is.
Amen.
They don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down.
Yeah.
Always, if you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get away from all your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God, and then you've got more power than the man that runs all over the building and makes a big lot of noise.
See?
Because you have been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ. To humble yourself before Him. That's really power. You show me a church that's humble. Real humble. Not an arrogant a church. Just a sweet, humble church. I'll show you a church that has the favor and power of God.
Amen.
That's right. That's the thing it takes. Humility. Humbling ourselves before God. And letting God just work through us. Don't have to make a lot of noise. Sometimes, as the farmer said, he went out to the field with his wagon, and every time he hit a bump, it just rattled and went on. But when he come back, he hit the same bump, didn't make no noise at all because it was loaded with good things. So I think that's about right. That we get filled up with the good things of God, that the fruit of the Spirit might be known through us, as he referred so much to 1 Corinthians 13 there, how that, though I give my body be burnt and have all these things and have not charity, it's nothing. It profits me nothing. You see. We want to do that. Above all things, it's our individual souls that we're responsible before
Amen.
God. See, it's you going to heaven. It isn't whether I go or he goes. It's you going. See, it's you first. And you've got to look this out and come sweet before the Lord. And I've always found out that the man that humbles himself is the man that God exalts. When you take a person with his chest out, knows everything, you can't tell him nothing, and he's arrogant, and, that's the person that never gets anywhere. But you take that person that humbles themselves and walks sweetly. I was talking to a man the other day, just organizing a church up at the, pulled out of an organization that they'd been in, it's Brother Bose. And that church where they've had that great church there for so long, and the Lord is blessing, and the people got to a place that they want to polish up like the rest of them and want to throw it into an organization. And when they did, it just, those humble Christians in there did not want that. All their life had been taught against it, so they walked away from it. Now they've got a group, and the Lord has blessed them until they're coming in up into a big place now again for a church now that puts up about 4,000 or 5,000 people. And they're starting over. And they come to me and said, Brother Branham, sitting right there in the office, the church office the other day, and he said, one of the leaders, Brother Carlson, and them said, what must we do? I said, find a man to be the shepherd that has no reputation in all denominations, just a real good, genuine, sweet, humble brother that lives a life. God will take care of the rest of us. I said, a good pastor that will just feed the sheep and be humble and think God will do the rest of you. Not some big know-it-alls come in and go to put this in order and this has to be this way and cutting things dry. I said, it'll never work. You just got through it. That's it. Every piece in the church must work together. And you must keep up your part of it so we see what time we're living in. We may be closer than we think we are. Now we appreciate Brother Vail, don't we?
Amen.
The Lord bless you, Brother Vail. Thank you, and we thank the Lord for bringing this great message to us tonight. And I got a note a few minutes ago, one of the sisters had something she wanted to tell in a dream. If you just write it out, tell me, sister, they give her some dreams that have been absolutely true. We don't accept all dreams. No, no. But when they're of God, we want to know it. It's God talking to us. Like everything speaks with tongues, we don't believe it. But when there's an interpretation comes that tells us something that's going to happen, we see it happen and we thank the Lord for it. See, we want to keep it running smoothly, sweetly, and in order of the Lord. So just remember that your part may be the mainspring, or it may be the little some little hand or some little part of the winding stem, whatever it may be, or it may be the hands on the face of the clock that tells the time. But whatever it is, it takes us all working together in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring this to pass. Just think, if gifts is so great, what we call power, and Paul said, though I have faith that I can move a mountain, and have not charity, I am nothing. Think of that. And though you say, well, though I understand, I wish I know the Bible, though I understand all the mysteries of God, see? And still, though I could do it and have not charity, I'm nothing, see? I haven't got nowhere yet, see? The main thing is love God and humble yourself with it. Now, surely, after all these years on the field and around the world and seeing different people, I ought to know a little bit about the gate to enter in at. And if you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit ever come around. Don't let no malice come in, no matter what anybody's done. If they are wrong, don't you never build up a complex against that person. You be sweet and kind. Remember, God loved you when you were in sin. And if the Spirit of God's in you, you love the other person when he's in wrong. Just pray for them and love one another above everything. Love God and love one another and be humble with God and around one another. And God will bless us. And it's hard to tell what he will do. Usually when church begins to get in numbers and gets to getting a little bigger or something like that, then they get away from that real thing. The real thing. You know what brought these things to pass? When I first started and the Lord appeared to me down the river and told me that, and Brother Bale saw that, I believe, in a paper in Canada many years ago where that angel of the Lord appeared on the river down there. It was on Associated Press. Mystic Light over a local minister while baptized. And you know what did that? When we had the tent meeting just across the street, a tent that seated about 2,500 people, ministers come from everywhere and said, "Brother, come here." And I was just a boy, or just a kid. And he said, "How do you keep those people in one accord? They love one another till I've never seen people love one another." That's the law. That's what this church was established upon, that godly, brotherly love for one another. I see them even shake hands with one another leaving the place and cry like babies to leave one another. They love one another that well. And I could go to their house to visit them, and times the Bible was laying open and stained with tears, coming at nighttime where fathers and mothers were gathered together, and their little children around on the floor, kneeling around, and fathers and mothers on their knees crying and praying. And I'd stand at the door and wait and wait and wait. And they didn't stop praying. I just sat down on the steps and started praying myself. Wait one thing. And that was why, and they love one another. They love one another. We used to stand and sing that old song, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. A fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." I say this with great joy in my heart to Christ. Many of them are sleeping around in these graves, Mark, tonight, waiting for that great resurrection where we'll meet together again. Let not that spirit ever depart from this place. If it ever does, then I don't care how eloquent your pastor might be, how well he might bring the Word of God, the Spirit of God is grieved away. Yeah. And we can have all things in fellowship in common, love one another, then God will work with us. Yeah. And we're keeping time that the people come by and say, if you want to see a church that's really humble, a church that really loves God, drop in up there at that tabernacle one time and watch them. Look at the care they have for one another, the respect. When the gospel's being preached, how reverent, how everything, just in order. Then they can look and see what time we're living. You'll see the Spirit of God moving among you. Great signs and wonders and things will be taking place. If the thing's working together, it's telling the time. But if it isn't working, then time has stopped. It won't tell the time no more. So if we want to know what time we're living, just start everybody working together in the gospel, loving one another, loving God, and the hands itself will tell the time what we're in.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Good. Amen. The Lord bless you real richly. Don't forget now, get around this week, and if you know any of the sick people that's coming in, tell them when he comes, say, "Dear, I want to ask you, we're having a prayer for the sick Sunday morning over at the tabernacle, and you've been sick for a while. Now, I want to go. I've always wanted to go. Now, I just heard a message Sunday night from a brother there that how we must confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we might be healed. James 5:13, 14, 15. See, that we must confess our faults one to another before we even come for healing.
Yes,
confess our faults one to another and pray one for the other. See that? This is exactly what he's talking about tonight. Brings back the Beatitudes in with Mark 16.
Amen.
Blend that together, you've got it. Then healings take place. Look at Jesus. Nothing but one bundle of love. See, he was God manifested. God expressed himself through him. No wonder miracles and things happened. His humble life and consecrated life to come from being God to be a man here on earth to express God to himself. That's what made him what he was. I've always said what made Jesus God to me was the way he humbled himself. He was so great and yet to be so small. That's right. The Lord bless you real good. Now, let's stand up and for the dismissal. Let's just try that. You might not notice the truth. That blessed be the title. But let's sing that one time, will you? Yeah, give us a chord.
Blessed be the title.
Take hold of one another's hands and we asunder apart and just say, God bless you, brother, sister. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. See something like that and turn back around and now let's sing it.
And when we asunder, it gives us inward pain, but we shall be joined in heart and hope to be.
How we love the Lord, amen. Don't we?
Hallelujah.
How
do we meet?
I'm going to ask the Brother Allen back there. a new brother among us, if he'll dismiss us in a word of prayer, Brother Allen.